Okay, today we're looking at the Prospering Prayer. It's important to think of prayer in a way that we can apply every time the same way. And by this, I don't mean that we pray the same prayer, but that we follow the same action. And in prayer, there's two actions. There's a letting go and there's a taking on. It's always the same. That's always what prayer is about. It's about letting go of something we are looking at in our mind's eye, our imagination, and taking on a higher vision. And it's kind of interesting because if you think of yourself just standing out someplace looking at a scene, say an open field like maybe this, and then you look up to the sky and you see the infinite. When you're looking at the landscape, you see a finite picture, something you could walk over and touch. And when you look up, you see something that is beyond what you can touch, but you can experience it. So somebody may say, I have this problem, and you're telling me just stop looking at it, stop thinking about it. And it's not exactly that, because the argument would be, you know, I can stop looking at it, but it's still there. That same argument can be made for God. You can look at the problem, not look at God, not focus on something greater unfolding through you, and that's still there. But what you focus on tends to dictate the type of experience that you're going to have. So we're looking at something that is not so pleasant, and we are wondering how we're going to deal with it. We're thinking a certain way about it. The whole time, the wide open sky is there. The presence of God is there, but we're not looking at it. Prayer is the decision to look at God. It's the decision to let go of looking at the landscape of the problem and lifting up our eyes to the higher reality. It is not irresponsible. It is rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar and unto God that which is God's. In other words, we have a choice to look any direction that we want. And whatever direction we're looking is going to pretty much dictate the quality of experience that we have. We all know what it is to worry ourselves sick, you know, to focus so much on a problem we don't know how to resolve, that it doesn't seem like it's a practical thing to be able to take our eyes off that and lift them up to something higher, because we've got to be there to deal with that reality, that picture, that landscape. And we're not denying that in the sense of saying it's not really there. You know, we're going to just pretend like it's not there and we're going to feel good about it. It's understanding that wherever you're, well, somebody said, whatever gets your attention gets you. And so if your attention is on the landscape of the problem has you. If you lift up your eyes, put your attention on, there's a greater presence here now. Something greater is unfolding now. It's like opening a door, just even a small crack, and saying something better can unfold here, something greater can happen. Whereas if you're totally riveted on the problem, you tie yourself in knots. It seems like nothing, there's no resolution to it, at least immediate. Prayer is not about irresponsibility. It's about using the faculty of your mind in a certain way. And again, you can be looking at the problem and looking away from God, or you can be looking to God away from the problem. And the logic will be, I can look to God, but the problem's still there. So let's turn that around and say, I can look at the problem and God's still there. It's the same thing, completely in reverse. In other words, the universe doesn't stop turning because we have a problem. It is still working as it should and always will. But we are not necessarily in harmony with it. And so that's what prayer is. It's a conscious effort to stop looking squarely at the problem and defining the quality of our experience according to that. It's looking to God, looking to the sky in the sense of looking to the infinite, infinite possibility. Looking at the landscape of the problem, we say, you know, this is, here's all the facts. So here's how I have to feel, here's how I have to act, here's how I have to think. But when we look to the infinite, there's no rule that says here's how we have to think. Here's how we have to react, here's how we have to feel. Because with God, all things are possible. We're opening our faculty of faith. That's what we're doing. We're opening our imagination and our faculty of faith, both of which work together in a positive way. This is what prayer really is, the principle of prayer. Prayer is a process of releasing and affirming. And a good illustration that Jesus used is the seed lets go of its seed identity before it grows. And that releasing, the seed identity, letting that go is a release. And the growth is the affirmation. The seed must be dropped into the ground and die. So when you think about what he's saying there, it's you're looking at a problem. So what is the seed in this case? It's your attention. That must die to the identity of the problem, the identity you have with the problem, the emotional attachment to the problem. The seed drops into the ground. That is, we let go, and that's a kind of a scary thing sometimes. If I let go, nothing will get done. Well, we can afford to let go for 15 minutes at a time, or 20 minutes, or an hour, and just see what a difference it makes in our own personal experience. You find that you are much more centered. You find that you're more inspired. Maybe you have more ideas begin to flow because you're not so focused on that appearance. When we pray, we become willing to release the energy we're giving to one thing, usually a negative appearance, so we may fully pour it into another. It's really that simple. Prayer is a decision. It's a matter of pulling your energy out of an appearance and remembering that there's something greater unfolding through you now. And you can think of a particular solution that you think needs to happen, but always say this or something better. And that just opens yourself to all kinds of new possibilities. It doesn't have to be the solution I think it has to be. It could be something better. It could be something simpler, something that just unfolds on a moment-by-moment basis that, you know, not like a bolt of lightning comes down and there's my answer. It just comes in a as a feeling that everything is in divine order, everything is unfolding as it should. And I've said before that you can tell when your prayer is answered by how you feel. When you feel you've totally released, a change has occurred. The chemistry you have with that problem is changed because you have become receptive to something greater than what you're seeing in this moment. And that's the releasing, that's the letting go, the denial. And let's remind ourselves again that denial does not mean pretend like it's not there. That's not denial. It is denial, but not in the sense that I'm using it here. Denial means release. Stop pouring energy into the appearance. Stop giving it your attention. That's denial. I deny that appearance, the emotion that I've been pouring into it. And it is important to focus on the emotion. This is not an emotional issue, but you know how you can try to think positive and still feel bad. Your emotion can be running at a deep level and something feels not right, but you can be affirming all kinds of positive things. We want to bring the head and the heart together, the thoughts and the feelings together. And prayer is a conscious effort to do that. So it's a releasing, a letting go, a denial, denying the energy that we're pouring into this thing, and affirming or lifting up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and seeing from a higher perspective. A prospering prayer is a prayer intended to free us from some restriction. And I would imagine everyone in this room can think of something that's going on in their life that feels very restricting, and they would like to change that. For the seed, prosperity is the shedding of the seed self so that further growth and fruition may occur. So you become a seed when you say, I have this problem, and I can define it, and I'm feeling pretty bad about it. So that's your seed self. And the process of prayer is dropping that, is letting that go. It's more about you than it is about the thing that you're praying about, that you are concerned about, the condition. It's more about how you feel. And this even applies to people, someone that you know that is going through some struggle. For you to release them, to die to the self, not that they're expressing, but that you're expressing. I'm afraid for them. So if you're having a problem, would you want people surrounding you saying, we're afraid for you? Wouldn't you rather have them saying, we see greater good unfolding through you now. We see the possibilities. We see your healing. The healing light of God is active through you. You know, isn't that the kind of support you want? If anybody has a negative attitude towards you, you don't really want them around. I've seen this happen so often in hospital visits. Family members come in and they're all worried sick. And that just kind of compounds the problem. It's totally understandable. But what we want when we're the one on the receiving end is we want people who are supporting the highest good, the highest unfolding, not people that are worried sick over us. What we are doing often when we get worried sick over someone or something is it's all about us. And it is about us. So where have we been directing our prayer? We've been directing it to the person or to the thing when we ought to be directing it to ourselves. How am I handling this? How am I seeing this? How am I experiencing this thing? Well, I'm worried about it. So what is that? It's energy. It's a picture. It's imagination and faith combined. It's a picture with my faith is in the negative. It's the faculty of faith misused. So I'm looking at this thing and I'm having this negative reaction and I'm praying that God will change that thing. But prayer is not about changing the thing. It's about changing our experience as we think of this thing, as we think of this person, as we think of this condition. That's really all it is. It's you becoming a higher vibration, a vibrational influence that has a healing ability. Because when you're afraid, when you're worried, and you're hanging around somebody that's having a problem, you know, that's the worst thing you can do. You want to instill confidence. You want to instill peace. You want to instill the understanding that healing is occurring, that greater good is now unfolding. That's the gift that you want to bring. I saw somebody on Facebook, a man said that he told his wife to embrace her mistakes. And he said, she hugged me. Do I have to explain that, or do you all get it? I thought that was funny. Well, kind of, since I'm a husband. But sometimes we embrace our mistakes. That's how we think of prayer, is we embrace the mistake that we're making. We think that's the right thing to do, is think negatively about a thing. And so we hug it. Hug it to us. Draw it close to ourselves. And we're feeling that is the responsible thing to do. And it seems like it is. It seems like that's the caring thing. But I have been received news about several people this week that are undergoing major crises in their lives, healing. And my first thought is, I don't want to hear that kind of news. That's my human reaction. But then I say, the healing light is working in and through this person now in a way that I can't even imagine. I don't know how any of it works. I don't have to, and that's the good news. So I'm taking kind of an intellectual approach to prayer, but just keep in mind how simple this really is and what's going on when you think of a person or a situation in your life that is not going so well. If you are buying into that and reacting at that level, you're hugging, you're giving it a big hug and saying, let's keep this thing close. So we're doing just the opposite. We're denying, or we're letting go, not of the person's suffering or pain or whatever they're going through, not pretending like none of that is real for them, but in taking our eyes off the appearance, our spiritual eyes off the appearance, and lifting them up to see the fields already ready for harvest. That's what Jesus said. Look at the finished idea. The healing process is now at work. I don't have to ask for that to start. So the prospering prayer is a prayer intended to free us from some restriction, and that restriction is always in our perception. Always. That's where our prayer is directed. It's very helpful to remember that, because when you're reacting to somebody, where is that reaction? When you're reacting to a condition, where is that reaction? And who's in charge of that reaction? If you say the condition is in charge of it, the person's condition is in charge of that, then you have no control over your thoughts and feelings. That's what we're saying. But that's the whole point of spiritual study, is to come to know that we do have control. That there is a part of us that has allowed the world to just run away with our emotions and our thoughts. So why are we studying this stuff? We're studying it because we think it's offering us a way to deal with things in the world in a rather unconventional way. Mainstream Christian looks up to the sky, looks to a power outside of themselves to bring an answer to whatever problem is there. And we're doing just exactly the opposite. We are affirming that the power of God is everywhere present. we're never out of it. It's never away from us. It's expressing through us at all times. And so we start with this idea. We start with this truth. There's one presence, one power. We say it every Sunday. God the good, omnipotent, all power. So if I have a problem, where is that problem? It's within me. It's a perception that is making me miserable. Do I have anything to say about it? Yes. I can let it go. I can release it. That's the restriction that we're focusing on. For the seed, prosperity is the shedding of the seed self so that further growth and fruition may occur. We're following the same principle of expansion that we see in operation throughout the natural world. It's not just the seed, it's every aspect of nature. It's willing to let go, it's willing to adapt. I've talked about that before, you know, the idea of adaptation. If some aspect of nature doesn't adapt to a change in the environment, it'll die, it'll go extinct. And in one sense, that's what we're doing. We're looking at a condition and saying, I must react a certain way because that condition is a certain way and it demands me to respond in a certain way. And that way is negative. And I won't stop responding to that negative level until the situation is fixed, until it's gone. So in this case, adaptation would be to say, do you want to adapt to the condition or do you want to adapt to what is true? And the one that adapts to what is true is the one that survives, the one that makes it. Because the infinite, that one presence, one power, is always there. If we adapt to that, if we make our adjustment, which is what prayer means, to make an adjustment, we adjust ourselves to what is true at the highest level, then we will grow through that. It doesn't mean things always turn out like we hope they will. They don't. But none of us are here forever. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we all have a way of dropping off. And that's not a bad thing, because this is such a small part of our whole experience. And that's part of our spiritual study, is learning that we live in a vaster universe than we tend to think. Our eyes and ears and all of our senses tell us that this life is a certain way, it's a certain thing. But the soul does not see it that way. And so we want to get back in touch with that. You desire greater freedom because at the spiritual level you are already free. I say this a lot. It's not always easy to remember that. Because when you're feeling fear, you're not free. But you can be. You can, because you are free at the deepest level, you can drop down beneath that fear and actually change your experience. You can do that. I've done it many times. I know it can be done. Where one moment the world looks black. It looks horrible. And the next moment you say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to follow this. I'm not going to allow this situation to dictate how I feel. And you can sit down and you can let go of that negative energy. Take your eyes off the landscape of the problem and lift them up to that higher reality. Adapt to God. Conditions that restrict the soul's natural expression, whether they're financial, health-related, or grounded in our self-perception, are really pockets of energy that need to be broken up and released. What we think of as a natural reaction to a negative situation is a pocket of energy. Think of it that way. And I can actually break that up. I can actually not be obligated to have that experience just because life says I should, some condition says I should. it is possible to be in this world but not of it. To me, that's what that means. To recognize that the reactions we have to so many things are pockets of energy that we store in the subconscious level of the mind. And every time a situation like that comes up, we pull it out and we experience it. And we say, we think it's the thing out there that's making us have that experience. It's simply triggering the pocket of energy that we carry around in the storehouse of our mind. That's what meditation does. Probably the most important thing that it does is it clears out the subconscious mind. It clears out the basement. Clears out that the file cabinets where we're storing reactions. We think we're having a new experience every day, and so much of it is just programmed reaction. How am I going to feel if this or that happens? How does this make me feel? When you stop and really think about this, that nothing makes you feel anything. You agree to feel whatever you're feeling. And you agree to do it probably out of habit. You're pulling out of the subconscious realm a pocket of energy that you think is a normal reaction. And it is normal. But as I have said before, it's not natural. That's not how we're designed. We're designed with a mind that can observe these types of reactions for what they are. Pockets of energy that are popping up automatically because a certain thing happens and looks a certain way. Okay, we go through our file. This is the reaction I'm supposed to have here. So we pull it up, and there it is. And we have a bad day. We have a bad experience. We have a bad moment. Is that a requirement? Is the landscape of the problem, am I required to respond to that as I am in this negative way? That's what the whole spiritual study is about. The answer to that question is no. I'm not required to do that. When we deny something, we're saying, wait a minute, I'm having this reaction. But the minister says, I'm not required to have this reaction, so can I do something about it? How do I let it go? So you do it on the spot. You do it right then and there. Not when the thing is resolved. That's the conventional way of thinking. When the thing is resolved, I'll put my negative energy back down in the storehouse till I need it again. And it'll pop up again. So it just keeps, we keep kind of reliving. It's like the Groundhog Day. You saw that movie, Groundhog Day. It's like we get up every day and we do the same thing. You know, the same energy pops up, keeps popping up. When's life going to get better? We keep reliving this, these reactions. So it's important for us to acknowledge that. That's what's happening. And to begin to break that up. To break up that energy. And when's the best time to do it? If you have a thing going on in your life right now and it's got you just worried sick, when's the best time to deal with that? How about now? Do you think you could actually let go of a negative thought or feeling that you're having about a condition, about a person, about any situation in your life, maybe a financial situation? That's going on and you don't know the answer to it? Do you think it's possible for you to think of that and have an exciting experience? That is, have an experience of the feeling that some greater opportunity is unfolding through you at this moment. If you've got something going on, try that. Try letting go of the knee-jerk response, because that is simply pocket of energy that you pull up out of your subconscious storehouse and you're applying it to the situation. But that's not you. You were not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. And so the next step is, let's find that center of power. When we understand this, we can focus our prayer work in the most effective direction. This rarely has to do with the actual condition. And if you think about it, because you could be, you know, somebody could offend you, and maybe they're 500 miles away, and you start thinking about them, thinking about the offensive thing they said, and they can have just as much control over you 500 miles away as if you were sitting face to face with them. So where's the problem? Where is the one deciding, making the decision about this reaction that you're having? It's a pretty simple idea. People don't really exist outside of us in terms of the relationship we're having. It is an internal thing. And conditions are the same. So we don't focus so much on the actual condition. The condition is simply calling our attention to the area in need of work. That's when Job said, "The thing I fear most has come upon me." It really has to, if we're to resolve it. The thing I fear most has come upon me. It's something I have defined as being the worst thing that could possibly happen, and here it is. And so now this is an opportunity for me to look at my reaction, to look at this pocket of energy I pulled up. Say, I'm obligated to have this. I'm obligated to experience this. And to say, no, I'm not obligated to have this and experience it. There's another way. I can begin to dissolve this. Forget about the situation. I mean, don't try to make it go away or don't try to deal with it. Just look strictly at how you are experiencing it. And say, this is my domain. This is my kingdom. This is where I operate. And I do have something to say about this. And you begin to release it. And as you go through your day, every time it comes up, you let it go again. You pray without ceasing, basically. You let go over and over and over until you actually do let go and you know you've let go. Trying to believe I have received something I don't have is a lie. That's our normal reaction. How can I believe a lie? So we're dealing with spiritual principle here, and we've got to keep this part straight. We're not dealing with material law. We're not dealing with the actual condition of the person. We're dealing with spiritual principle. And what is that spiritual principle? Am I less because somebody is having a problem I'm worried about? Am I something less? Has my spirit been diminished by something outside of myself? So the spiritual principle is, no, it has not. I am still whole. I am still all that I can ever be. My soul is complete right now. So why do I feel so diminished? I'm pulling up a pocket of energy and I'm slapping it right on myself. And I'm saying, this is the quality that my experience has got to be. So we interrupt that. So we're dealing with spiritual principle. We're not dealing with what's going on in the material as much as our perception of the material. The material thing or condition is the effect that you're after. Prayer sets up the cause that produces the desired effect or something better. So we're setting up a new cause by lifting our eyes above the landscape of the problem. Does that make sense? It's like we are agreeing to have an experience that's not being dictated by this appearance. And it's okay to do that. And as we do that, we realize that our kingdom is not of this world. This is very practical information. It's a very practical way to deal with things. What sets any spiritual master apart from your average person is their perception. It's how they see themselves, basically. they're saying, you know, a spiritual master is a person that sees the same scene that is upsetting us, and they're not having the same reaction because they're making a different choice. Can I not do that? Is there some rule that says I can't do that? There's no rule. There's just habit. Here's how I've always reacted, so I'm going to do it now. So we interrupt that. We have to start the process of interrupting. So we pay attention to the negative energy that we're giving to a situation. That's the most important thing. I'm having this negative reaction, this down feeling, this heaviness. Look at that. Where is it coming from? You say, well, it's coming from the problem. No, it's not. It's a decision. It's a pocket of energy you pull up out of your subconscious mind. Affirm the greater freedom that you want to experience. You can let that energy go, and the greater freedom actually comes from the letting go. As you begin to let go, as you sit down, and I find it best to sit down, to stop whatever I'm doing, and make a special point of letting go of the problem, my perception of the problem, realizing that it is my energy that I'm letting go. And I immediately begin to feel lighter, begin to feel better. Why am I interpreting this whole thing I call life as so negative right now? Life is not negative. So I can let that go. How would I feel if this issue was resolved? That's a good question to ask yourself in order to get beyond that appearance. How would I feel if this issue was resolved? So you let yourself experience the freedom associated with your answer. And let your answer be an actual feeling, not just words. You know, I'd feel great. But feel great. Let yourself feel great. Start feeling great. Let yourself begin to turn around emotionally. So hold to this and take any action that you're prompted to take until your desired condition becomes your reality. Again, a very simple idea, but one that we can all apply, whatever the situation is. Okay? Thanks for coming out, and we'll see you again next week.